Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the Media Research Center. New report out today, report card on big tech. Come to Newsbusters to check that out. Our happy birthday wishes to Scott Whitlock. He's getting old. We're going out for lunch today. I have to express at this point some relief at the outcome of the George Floyd story. Now, I have worried through all the relentless live coverage of this trial that all this enormous media attention was going to lead to another summer of violence and looting. But the guilty verdicts were greeted with joy. Our MRC crew went down into D.C. last night to film the reaction and found stuff like people dancing the electric slide. Good. You would want people to be happy. Most of what you saw on television yesterday was happiness. There was one bizarre reaction. MRC regular Jason Johnson, college professor, was somehow saying he wasn't happy at all. He had to go on and say, "I don't think this is the system working. This is the justice system trying to say, hey, this is one bad apple." I guess sometimes you can never be happy, not even for a half an hour. Our media angle here is the importance of video, which can lead to more certainty in controversies like this, whether they show the police were justified in their response or unjustified. It also shows, though, that the presence of video can make some deaths way more newsworthy than other deaths. So if the video shows police were justified, it's not quite as interesting. We had the story this morning out of Columbus with a 16-year-old girl being shot dead by the police. What the body cam video showed was she had a knife and she was going to stab another teenager. And still, we have people, if you go to Twitter, who are upset that the police actually responded. Now, people watching TV news on a regular basis can develop the false impression that police only shoot black and brown people. They're certainly going to get that impression if they're woke and their social media thread, you know, talk about going down a hole of misinformation. Police do not shoot only black people. Stats will show that twice as many or sometimes three times as many white people are killed as blacks. But the media coverage almost never touches on that. We also get the false impression that when the police shoot, that the people are unarmed. Them being unarmed is pretty rare. And yet those are the ones they like the most. And on some occasions, they will falsely say someone is unarmed. See Jacob Blake. Radio host Chris Plant the other day noticed the case of 16-year-old Peyton Ham in Leonardtown, Maryland, outside Annapolis. You haven't heard this incident, right? White policeman shoots white teenager holding an airsoft gun. Ham apparently also had a knife for some reason. But none of this was news because the cop was white. The teenager was white. No news. So I was listening to NPR special coverage all the way home last night, and at a traffic stop, I went on my phone and I saw that NPR media reporter David Folkenflik had tweeted at 6:10 Eastern that Fox's coverage with Brett Baier was straight ahead and everything, but they were giving a lot of time to Al Sharpton and Maxine Waters to rile up viewers, he said. Now, the irony here is that Folkenflik and I go back and forth on Twitter a bit, and he told me once, I shouldn't even look at my phone at a red light. But aha, in this case, I tweeted back at the stop, that I'd heard NPR was all Al Sharpton live. They aired him for all 8 minutes while he was speaking. So did CNN, by the way. NPR then ducked out of Benjamin Crump, the Floyd family lawyer, so they could put on a long, soft interview with Ilhan Omar, since she's from Minnesota. And then they did an interview with Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. All this time, they're ignoring the Crump team. They were waiting for the Floyd family to come to the podium. Then the Floyd brothers came on, and they ran all of that. Then we went to the live statements of Kamala and Joe. Now, all the live coverage was typical breaking news, but they added two liberal Minnesota Democrats to the mix. And my point is, NPR shouldn't be mocking Fox News for their choices of what they cover live. Like, NPR never knows how to play to its own very ideological audience. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, who used to be a media reporter, and we would go back and forth discussing the media bias, he also tweeted last night. He seemed upset that Al Sharpton wasn't on Fox and that they were talking to white pundits. He was flipping channels at like 6:20, and I had to get on Twitter again and say, Fox News ran 5 minutes of Al Sharpton live. Fox News, at about the time Mr. Deggans was tweeting, was interviewing a black pundit. NPR hates Fox so bad, and then they're putting this sort of misinformation on Twitter. No one expects social media to clamp down. There is no fact-checking NPR. They're Twitter's buddies. So I discussed this with Mrs. Graham, what I heard on the way home, and she asked me what was wrong with it. And it's breaking news, and it's very much a story about race in America. So I don't have a problem with all the live coverage. But again, when it comes to interviewing the Democrats, you could have said, look, Senator Tim Scott's the only black senator right now. He had a police reform bill last year, but the Democrats wouldn't debate it. Tim Scott's a Republican. He put out a statement being supportive of the verdict last night. He just goes unmentioned. Maybe NPR likes the whole idea that they think that all the Republicans in the Senate are white. Now, more importantly, the media is seriously uninterested when policemen are killed at routine traffic stops. Trials for cop killers are never going to get 500 hours of live coverage or whatever. Policemen are covered as killers way more than they are covered as defenders. And their deaths in the line of duty often aren't even an afterthought to these people. The Capitol police officers were an exception. That's because the people in the crosshairs were what they call pro-Trump extremists. It came out that Brian Sicknick, they found had died of some strokes after the Capitol riot on January 6th. There was some coverage of this. I would argue on some channels, really not enough. For example, on the PBS NewsHour, they gave it 60 words. They gave it 20 seconds, where the anchor, Amnon Nawaz, said these words. There's word that U.S. police Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick died of two strokes the day after confronting pro-Trump extremists on January 6. The Washington, D.C. medical examiner concludes a chemical spray was not a factor in Sicknick's death. Instead, he says the overall stress of the riot did play a role. That could rule out homicide charges in the case. Yeah, it could. So, I would love to think that we could impress on the media that perhaps they should cover the death of police to some fraction of what they cover police shootings. And if they're going to cover police violence, then go to the Washington Post, use their database, and report the actual racial breakdown, and report the actual number of these where the where the person who dies was unarmed. Give people some facts and don't leave these false impressions. But they love the impression that America is systemically racist. We certainly got that when the president and the vice president came out to address the cameras. We're going to discuss the coverage of Biden in the first few weeks of his presidency coming up next.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
We are back on the Newsbusters podcast with research director Rich Noyes, who has new research that you've probably worked months on. Evening news coverage on ABC, CBS, and NBC from January 20 to April 9. What's the overall picture?
Well, thanks for having me, Tim. The overall picture is coverage of the Biden administration in its first, you know, we'll call it 10, 11 weeks in office has been largely positive. 59% of the statements we looked at that were evaluative were positive. Our methodology is focused on reporter statements, anchors, experts, average citizens. It excludes politicians. We don't want Democrats saying Biden is wonderful. That doesn't count as good press. We don't have Republicans criticizing him either. That doesn't count. We had the same rules when we did this investigation into the Trump's early coverage. Trump, in what was supposed to be the honeymoon period of his presidency, received 89% negative press by this measure. Biden, it's 59% positive. He got the best press, things that the media are most excited about, on the COVID relief bill, which spends an awful lot of money. That, I think, was 86% positive. His more general handling of COVID, the vaccines, 79% positive. And this infrastructure bill that was just breaking as we were finishing up our study, 63% positive. His one big blemish so far has been the southern border, 82% negative. But looking back at the Trump coverage, when there was no massive influx of unaccompanied minors, Trump, in his first 100 days, got more coverage of his border problem and worse coverage of his border problem than Biden, who has a much more serious actual border problem in real life.
Yeah, that's actually interesting stuff. And that is the idea that Trump got more immigration coverage or more border coverage in his first 80 days or whatever than Biden. You would think that...
And that's elbowing aside all of the other topics they had for Trump at that time, including this doesn't count the travel ban, this doesn't count the Russia investigation, this doesn't count the tweets, it doesn't count an awful lot of things. But the media were running 2, 3, 4 stories a night because Trump was doing something they found controversial and they wanted to comment on every night. Biden, he might get a story a night. He might just get a news brief. There's a lot less Biden coverage than there was of Trump. Biden seems to be fitting in more with the way other Democratic presidents are being covered. Biden was like a Republican president they detest on steroids.
We did an Obama first 100 days, right?
We did. And I think Obama got more coverage because he was more of a celebrity. And yeah, the number one coverage story back then was, again, a massive stimulus bill that spent a lot of taxpayer money. And the networks gave that mostly positive coverage, just like Biden's big stimulus bill that spent an awful lot of money.
Which only underlines a point I make often, which is... if you ever talk about deficits, if you ever talk about the federal debt, and you somehow let the media say, oh, they're going to chew out the Republicans for this or whatever. I mean, I always blame the media first, because I think what this shows once again is you can spend trillions of dollars, trillions, And they're very supportive. They think that's fantastic. They think that, I mean, let's face it, Biden met with some historians. Axios reported this. This massive spending of our money is his legacy. And they just get all caught up in it. It's another great society. It's another New Deal.
Yes, we counted 120 minutes of coverage of the Biden stimulus COVID spending bill. 29 seconds of that referenced the national debt or the deficit. And the question is, you're right, the legacy will either be he helped a lot of people with all of his government spending, or he left a massive amount of debt, which actually ultimately hurt a lot of people because it hurt the economy and our long-term productivity for years and years to come. You know, but politicians like to think short-term in Washington, and so does the media.
And we certainly would sit here and say, obviously, President Trump oversaw a lot of spending.
He did.
You know, I mean, that, and you can say, gee, the Republicans under Trump were awfully casual about spending. Let's remember, though, Trump won because he ran on, I'm not touching Social Security, I'm not touching Medicare. He didn't run as one of these Paul Ryan cut the spending Republicans.
No, he ran against them in the primaries and beat them.
Yeah.
So, yes, but I will also say, you know, part of what the media would term Trump's spending was tax cuts, which actually boosted the economy, boosted productivity. I think there ended up being more tax receipts after the Trump tax cuts passed than there was before because the economic growth was so much higher. That obviously all got sacrificed during the pandemic, and it's coming back now. The positive coverage Biden is receiving on his general handling of the pandemic, not the spending, I think that would have been interesting if there had been a second Trump term. These vaccines would have all been unfolding basically without any difference. I think the numbers would have been sort of in the same trajectory. They wouldn't have liked Trump's rhetoric on this. But the question is, would the same general pattern of the pandemic been met with such positive coverage of the president? Somehow I doubt it.
Yeah, I the only bright side to me of Biden winning this race is that you can say there's not going to be vaccine hesitancy being created by the media. You know, there's really no credit for Trump for Operation Warp Speed. That just, we can't count any of that. But yeah, this whole idea that suddenly COVID, the coverage is so much more positive, I think really tells you, I think, how dramatically they use this as a cudgel to beat him.
Well, they did, but again, they used every issue that came up in the Trump administration to beat him. If there was, you know, you can go back to the very beginning. We had 89% negative in those first days. I think, you know, in all of 2017, it was around 90% negative. Same in 2018, same in 2019. In the 2020 election, I think it was 92% negative for Trump, 60-something percent positive for Biden. So this is of a piece. The media converted themselves over the course of the Trump presidency from being, you know, journalists who occasionally let opinions come through or skewed their news coverage to full-throated partisans who thought their job was to elbow aside the ineffective liberals so they could more effectively attack and criticize a president they didn't like. Now, yes, President Biden gets a lot less coverage because they have a lot less to say about him, but their partisanship is now fully entrenched in a way that I don't think it was before. Even in the Obama years when they were cheering him and celebrating him every step of the way, you know, there wasn't the level you had with Trump. So I think the media, you know, the media have a credibility crisis with a huge swath of the country, and they've helped do it themselves by stepping outside of their rightful role.
I think we would argue that, yeah, if the news media ruined their credibility with people, it happened before Trump. I mean, yes, their coverage of Obama, and especially that first in the campaign itself, and then in the first year, I mean, it was just absolutely promotional, you know, where they were everything that Trump was never going to receive. Barack and Michelle went on, they flew to Broadway. I mean, everything they did was celebrated. Their vacations were celebrated. Their children were celebrated. Their, you know, the movies they liked were celebrated. And yeah, it's the tone. Everybody gets it. Everybody watches the tone. Now, Trump, you mentioned, yes, it was biased 2017 to 2020. I would assume that's also what we got in 2015 and 2016.
Oh, I think so. We didn't do this study back then, but I, you know, the interesting thing about Obama's late-term coverage is, yes, it was the media turned their critical lens not on the president, but on his Republican opponents in Congress. So after 2010, it was Republicans who were sort of always the problem. Remember, there was discussions of the debt crisis, and Republicans were terrorists holding things up. You know, they rarely would blame the president for anything that was going on in the government. That all changed when it became President Trump. Then it became a president who was suddenly responsible for everything that was going on, whether he was or wasn't. Now we're seeing a sort of shift back where you have a few Republicans who are getting more negative, more demanding coverage than the actual president of the United States. And it's as a spectator sport, it's sort of like tennis. You can see the ball moving from side to side. But in terms of journalism, the bias and the partisanship couldn't be plainer.
Yeah, I think this is one of the things I would really want people, if they look at this study, I summarized it in the column, but what really stands out to me is just the sheer difference in the amount of coverage, and then even more dramatically in the amount of evaluation, where Biden has like 16% the number of evaluations that Trump has, which just shows you, to me, they're not judging Biden because they're so happy with him. They're not evaluating him positively or negative. He's just there. Like, this is the way the world's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonky way to talk about it. But yes, the more evaluations you have in a given period of time, the more sort of media frenzy you have, the more the media trying to paint something as controversial in and of itself. And they simply never did that with Biden, the candidate. They're not doing that with Biden, the president. But they did do that with Trump almost from the time he came down the escalator.
Yeah, I think the thing that was funny, I mentioned Dave Weigel of the Washington Post had tweeted out that, they're not covering Biden, you know, waging war on his fellow Democrats on Twitter. Oh, all right, yeah, he's not doing that. Is Biden's POTUS Twitter account is bland and boring, and that works for Democrats. And you could certainly say Trump's Twitter policies, his approaches were unorthodox and controversial, and they dwelled on those. But, you know, you point out Biden said controversial stuff, at least things that Republicans and conservatives found controversial, and the networks just slept through them.
Yes, Trump knew how to fling an insult, and I think he thought it was part of his charm, you know.
Yeah.
But President Biden, you know, he was calling Republicans Neanderthals for their approach to coronavirus. That was just a few seconds. He referred to a Georgia election law that, you know, was opening up early voting for two Saturdays and Sundays, and you could vote early. You just needed to show an ID. That was somehow Jim Crow 2.0. I mean, that was highly inflammatory rhetoric. It got 39 seconds of coverage, and not a single second of it was critical. They thought Biden was a proper spokesman telling the truth about this Georgia law because they couldn't see past their own bias.
Yeah, I think the Jim Crow, as I remember, because I was really interested in this, one of the networks had 35 seconds, one had 4 seconds, one had zero.
Yeah, well, the ones that didn't use that soundbite or talk about that soundbite used other Biden soundbites, like, you know, calling the Georgia law an atrocity or calling it really sick, man. They just didn't paint any of that as controversial or a president weighing in where he shouldn't. The president trying to sort of support and exhort a Major League Baseball boycott of a state, you know, that is a president sort of stepping way beyond his normal role, and they thought that was fine too. So it's new president, new rules.
Yeah, and I guess that to me was sort of a social media frenzy type thing where they're basically like, hey, are you going to get behind this Twitter frenzy to get the All-Star game removed from Atlanta? And he's like, sounds good to me.
Right. President Trump, of course, weighed in when it came to NFL players kneeling and playing the national anthem and things like that.
Yeah.
And that became a massive question of why is he doing this? Why is he getting involved? You know, he's wrong, 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 wrong. And this just passed with just a few seconds of note and not criticism.
Yeah. I mean, and so this is one of the reasons why conservatives say the news media is it's all messaging. It's not reporting because just of how incredibly selective they are in terms of what's controversial and what's not. What you're suggesting right now under Biden, it's like it's almost like nothing is controversial anymore. It's as we saw under Obama, the controversy is in Republican opposition.
Yeah, and I think we can expect to see more of that, particularly the more I think he has sort of the classic big government spending agenda. I mean, that seems to be where he's really found the sweet spot, because everybody, you know, the media love to help people. They are not worried about sort of the green eye shade people. Going back to the beginning of the MRC, whenever Republicans tried to control spending, they were mean-spirited people, and they always found somebody who would be victimized by it as a way to lobby against it. I will say, you know, you mentioned this earlier, Biden did get some bad press, and that was from the left. You know, there was a big story on NBC about how Biden was only going to be forgiving $10,000 in student loan debt instead of $50,000 the way the ultra-progressives wanted him to. You had one of the sort of issues that were in the top five but wasn't getting a lot of coverage then, I think it's building now, is gun control. And you have reporters suggesting, you know, where is he on this? How come he's not doing more?
Yeah.
You know, they wanted him to really do what he claimed he would do, and that is on the first day come out there with the far-left program on gun control. So he's... You know, these are criticisms, but they're criticisms not, you know, Republican versus Democrat or conservative versus liberal. They're liberal, they're the far left attacking a liberal president who's essentially giving them everything that he can give them, but they want more.
Well, and then Curtis Hauke finds this in the briefing. So we remember the first Biden press conference where they were all pestering him about the filibuster. When are you going to get rid of this racist relic called the filibuster, asked CNN? And yeah, now they're doing this with guns. Why hasn't he done more? These are the reporters, and they really do sound like a bunch of left-wing Twitter accounts, you know, demanding the president be more left-wing. I wanted to wrap with the, you wrote something yesterday about the death of Walter Mondale. And
this is like the podcast equivalent of clickbait, I guess.
since we're people who actually remember the 1984 presidential campaign and the coverage, the sad statement, I think, was in your headline where it basically said, in the end, with the direction of the country, Walter Mondale won.
Well, that was Tony DeCoppola on CBS, the co-host of CBS This Morning. And his suggestion was, at the end of the day, you know, Reagan famously said, you know, big government is not the solution, big government is the problem. And DeCoppola was trying to salute Walter Mondale, who lost, of course, 49 out of 50 states to Reagan, only won Minnesota by a couple of thousand, that he claimed that somehow Mondale had won the argument with Reagan, and that if you look at where things are now, people are believing in big government. I think that's not entirely true. I think that's more wishful thinking. Tony DeCoppola seems to believe in big government. But you know, I will say, yes, the media have been insistently pushing against Reaganism, against conservatism, against the idea of a limited government and maximum personal freedom and personal responsibility for all of those 35 years since Walter Mondale lost. So, yeah, the country is probably more as Walter Mondale wanted it today than it was in 1984 when he lost.
And this just underlines something that I think is central to what we've tried to do at Newsbusters and long before that. Back when we were doing the Media Watch newsletter, and that is, yes, it's the whole notion that there's not just the Republicans and their voters and the Democrats and their voters, that the so-called referees of our politics have been so dramatically shifting to the left and shifting ever more to the left. I mean, I'm sure that you can go back to Clinton and how Clinton tried to run as a moderate Democrat. You know, Joe Biden, they're calling him a centrist now, and he is way more liberal or radical in 2020 than Clinton tried to sound in 1992.
Look, his administration right now is running more to the left than the Obama administration was, and that's when Newsweek ran the famous cover, "We're all socialists now." Well, then what are we today in 2021? I'm scared to think about it.
Yeah, that's why that headline was so depressing. But we're still here to chronicle it. We've been at this, you know, the MRC was founded in 1987. You were doing media research in college. I can't say I was doing that, but we've been at this a long time, and we're going to try to bring our expertise to the situation. So make sure you come around and check out Rich's study here. Bill D'Agostino had a video as well to give you a sense of how sickening it is. Come over to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.